Find the answers to questions you may or may not have asked yourself here at Collider Science, Conversations on Cognitive Science, hosted by Elisa Palmer and Sönke Löw. Did we discuss who starts today, or did we just not talk about it?
It's obviously you, so...
Why is it obviously me? I mean, it'd be fun if Sophie started today.
So much pressure.
Okay, I can just start. So today, as you might have noticed in the first couple of seconds, this episode is going to be a bit more special, maybe also a bit more messed up and a bit more chaotic. We're today not really talking to a guest, but instead the podcast team is talking to each other. And well, it's basically going to be our last episode for this season before we're going to go into our summer break and enjoy some time off. So I'm really happy to be here with Sönke and Sophie today. Unfortunately, Alina can't join us because she's sick. So it's just the three of us, but still really happy to be here. You have to talk, Sophie.
Is this like a podcast?
I've heard so, yeah. Apparently it's a podcast. So I think it would be funny to have video transcription that also puts into the podcast what we are doing on the video while talking to each other. So like have a random voice in the back that's narrating. Sophie just started waving at the camera.
Like the, you have this option in like streaming platforms. I don't know if you've ever, I've once accidentally clicked on it and I was like, why are they telling me like what the character is doing?
Funny. Okay, should we start with you guys introducing and saying hello as well?
Hello, I'm Sophie. You might remember me from the Christmas special. I haven't really spoken much in the podcast otherwise. Not at all, to be very specific. But I'm here today because I'm part of the podcast team. I do a little bit of the social media handling and a bit of the organizational stuff as well, I would say. And yeah.
And a lot of critical feedback all the time.
The chaotic brainstorming and the critical feedback.
Well, and I'm Sönke, and I'm one of the hosts, so you probably might have heard my voice already if you have listened to any of the episodes, except for some of the bonus episodes in which I am not.
That's true.
And it is like the ones where some people have heard Sophie are exactly the ones where you didn't hear me, so maybe someone has just heard Sophie and is confused that I'm here.
That would be true. Very specific, though.
But true, in the bonus episode, Sophie and I were working together and you were with Alina. But why are we here today? So just gonna tell really shortly, we've been doing this podcast for 1 year now, which is incredible, at least to me. I don't know how you feel about it. And we kind of thought it would be for one fun to just have a short episode where we talk about 1 year of podcasting, what we've learned, what we've enjoyed, etc. And also just wrap the season up a bit, I guess, and maybe also talk a bit about what's going to change next season, because there are going to be some minor or major changes. I don't know how you want to phrase it, but things are going to change, which I'm really looking forward to. At least in my notes, for some reason, it says that Sophie is doing a welcome game.
Yeah, I mean, she's the only one, because like in the bonus episode, we did the welcome game, and Alina also kind of mentioned her answers, right? So the only one who is missing right now would be Sophie, and I will just start the game now. And the first sentence is, maybe if someone hasn't listened, I'll explain the game again. Like, we start a sentence and Sophie has to spontaneously continue it. And the first sentence would be, as a kid, I always wanted to be
a scientist, actually. So as a child, I always wanted to become like a biologist, Like, when I was, like, 10 years old, I think, was the first time I remember being like, I want to become a marine biologist and look at the turtles and help save the turtles. I'm not a marine biologist, but I'm a neuroscientist, a cognitive neuroscientist, to be specific. And, yeah, as a child, I basically just wanted to find things out and understand how the world works. And I feel like this is what led me into science and what kind of, obviously, my idea of being a scientist was a very different one as a child. But the main component of wanting to understand the world and find things out is still the same.
What was your main perception of what a scientist is that's different to what you experienced to be today?
I mean, obviously, I didn't know about statistics. no, I thought I would just like document what the turtles do, take notes, and that would be like my day as a scientist. But obviously there goes a lot more into being a scientist apart from taking like a few notes. There's like a lot of organizational things you have to think about and a lot of methods you need to learn. And obviously I was not aware of all of this as a child.
True. Yeah.
The next sentence is, if I was an emoji, I would be.
Either the passive aggressive. No, I would be like the melting one, which is like melting into the ground, like everything has gone to shit and I'm turning into a puddle now. Or the brain emoji.
Fair.
The next sentence is, my favorite thing to do on a day off is?
Sleep in and then and then go to yoga, do something crafty, meet some friends, and go outside.
The next sentence is, right now I'm most fascinated by?
That's a very difficult one. I'm currently learning for my job how to analyze heart rate data and what heart rate data can tell us about like the activation of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system, which can also tell us, for example, if people perceive things without actually seeing them because they might have a change in their heart rate, even though they cannot report seeing something. And I think that's really interesting, but I haven't read enough about it to go into a full explanation right now.
And the final question is, or the final sentence is, I know it's time to call it a day when.
Usually when I feel like I really can't concentrate enough on what I'm trying to do anymore and I just keep getting distracted like over and over and over again, then I'm like, okay, maybe this is enough for today.
And that was it for the welcome game. And we now kind of want to move back to how the podcast started. And Elisa, since you had like the original idea, can you maybe explain when the thought occurred to you and how you moved forward with it?
Sure. Actually, I think it's quite a fun story because the idea of starting the podcast came maybe not a big surprise during COVID when I felt like most people were starting projects and were doing stuff and we just all had way too much time to spend on because our normal lives were just stopped or paused to a certain degree. And I think I got the original idea, or at least the thought of maybe wanting to start a podcast in 2021-ish. So it was during the last larger COVID lockdowns, at least here in Germany. And I think I kind of felt like, well, there's so many podcasts out there. What possibly could I do to add? And also, like, I knew I wanted to do something science-y and also cognitive science-y, because I really like the field of studies, and I think it's really interesting what people can do in this whole field, may it be neuroscience, may it be psychology, may it be philosophy, AI, neuroinformatics, etc. But also, I knew that I wouldn't be able to talk about all the topics really confidently. And then one day we went on a walk, because we started that doing that during, I think, the first COVID lockdowns, when we were still allowed to meet up in small groups, at least for walks. While times it was it 2020? Should have been 2020-ish, yeah. But anyway, we continued going on frequent walks, and I remember that we talked, and I was like, I want to do a podcast. And you asked something in the direction of, you're sure about that? And I was, what is your idea? I was like, well, I want to do something about cognitive science. And you somehow questioned, so you want to prepare weekly information bits about a topic and work yourself into topics each week. And I was like, that sounds like quite a lot of work. I'm not sure about that. And I think we kind of stopped. No, I think I already asked you at that point if you wanted to join me as well. I'm not sure if I asked you in the beginning or later, because I thought it might be fun from our dynamic to do a podcast together. But you were at the beginning more like, nah, I don't really see myself in a hosting position. I don't know if you remember the same way, or if you were like, what are you talking about right now?
Yeah, no, that sounds familiar. I mean, I think you already, like, internally talked about that people, when they know that you are hosting a podcast, think that you are really great, like, at public speaking and are, like, really extroverted somehow. Yeah. And I had, like, the same perception, and that's not me at all. So, like, as a conclusion, I was like, I'm not a good host for a podcast. But yeah, if you like now look back at it and you only have to talk to like one guest, then that makes it like something that I can relate more to. But like first it was like, yeah. Do I want to host a podcast? Probably not, because I like staying in small circles, I say.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I think it was also your answer that you were like, not really sure about that. And then we went on another walk about a week later or so. And I was again like, I had this podcast idea, do you remember? And I thought about it. And I don't want to prepare each episode myself, but I want to invite guests. And I think again, you were like, and I was like, well, could you imagine doing that? And I think you named one or two other people where you thought, well, there might be better fits for co-hosting with me. I was like, nah, I don't really see that. And then I think I asked you once or twice more on walks, and you weren't that strictly against it at some point anymore, but also not really into it. So I decided to not keep asking and just let it sit. I was working on my bachelor's thesis and was really busy at that time, and kind of I didn't really forget about the whole podcast thing, but I also didn't really focus on it anymore. And then at some point, when I was not even at Osnabrück, I was not really actively studying at that time, you messaged me, was like, we're like, we had this podcast idea, didn't we? And I was like, we did? I thought I did, and you didn't want to. And that's kind of how we started again and started to message some people in our institute about how to best start something like that, and kind of started meeting up, discussing how to organize. I started talking to quite a lot of people whom I met randomly. I think that's also how Alina got on board, because I just talked to her about it and she was like, that sounds interesting, I would join. And then she also told me, Sophie, do you remember Sophie, who both Alina and me have been working with before, wanted to do a podcast as well. Maybe we could just talk to her as well. And that's how Sophie came on board, because we were like, Sophie, do you want to chat about podcasting and your ideas and our ideas? And somehow you ended up joining the team at some point, which I think none of us really planned. So I think all of us got on board by me having a wild idea and annoying Sönke enough, but also knowing Sönke well enough to know to not annoy him too much and to just let an idea sit for a while and not keep asking. And then I feel like all the others more or less stumbled into the project because they felt, or they thought it would be fun to work on it, but also didn't really plan to do so at the beginning.
Yeah, I feel like one of the fun facts now is that Sönke and I didn't even know each other, like, really. I knew, like, Elisa and Alina because we worked together for the university. But I didn't even know Sönke, but you kept just being like, yeah, Sönke and I are gonna, like, join the call, and do you want to talk to Sönke and me? And I was like, who the hell is Sönke? Sure.
But you said yes in the end.
Yeah, I said yes, but I was like, should I know Sönke?
And see, that's why I, like, was hesitant in the beginning, because I think, like, everyone felt like Sophie. I don't think anybody really knew me outside of, like, the group I was doing, like, the group works with in the study courses.
But same with me, so I feel like we are a good match on that, so.
I think it's been pretty much like that for me at that time as well. It has changed that have since I started the podcast, but before I also feel like most people didn't know me at all.
But I'm not sure, like, when did you start working for the university? Because you already knew, like, some people on the side of professors and, like, people who are relevant to the institute. Not really, like, the students, maybe, but, like, the important names on the other side.
The important names. Sounds like I am having Lisa a really has important the best influence.
Connection.
I'm definitely not kidding. I think I started... When did we start working together, Sophie? Was it 2020?
No.
Or 2021? Because we started working together the same month.
Yes, 2021.
Okay.
Like in like the end of the year or the beginning of 2022.
Yeah.
Because I only worked there for like... Oh no, it must have been so much later. No, it was like April 2022.
You're sure? It feels longer.
No, it was only like 5 months or something.
Really? Okay, it felt longer to me.
Yeah, because I was applying for the job during my bachelor's thesis, which I handed in March. And therefore, it must have been after.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
okay. I just wanted to say, like, does anyone want to add something on the experience on how they got on board?
No, for me it was like very funky because for a while we were having like meetings like semi-regularly, and I was like, do you want me to be in the podcast, like, or do you just want to talk to me, or do you like there was like a certain period where I was wondering what my role is like in this conversation, because
I think we were all not really settled on that. I guess I think it was just we were happy to get your input, and we also know what we didn't really talk about. Do you really want to join? Until we really started, did we?
I mean, that depends what you mean with really started.
Recording the first episodes, getting the first episodes out.
But I mean, I was very much involved in the whole brainstorming for names, brainstorming for logos, brainstorming for concepts, brainstorming... Full stop.
Yeah.
I still remember brainstorming a lot about different things, so I feel like...
I And you were writing your master thesis at that time, right?
Yes, that's also like the best the best moment to start a new project is about 6 weeks. No, I think I committed to this like two and a half months before before I had to hand in my master's thesis.
Yeah, I remember that at the first couple of episodes, there was a period when you were like, I don't have capacities for podcast stuff at all because I have to finish my master thesis. And I was like, oh, true, you're currently writing your master thesis, I forgot.
Yeah, but I feel like I was like still trying to keep it together and participate like quite regularly. Only like the last two weeks, I was like, well, yeah, sorry, yeah. I'm out. I'll be back.
Yeah.
And I was also moving.
Oh, true. You were moving first back to your parents, right? And then back to Maastricht.
Yeah, but the back to Maastricht was after my thesis was done.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also applying for jobs. That was such a busy month.
But still, you ended up sticking to the podcast.
Yes.
I think we have lost Sönke. Sönke, do you want
to fly in my apartment? And I just, was able to swoosh it out the window, so I was very distracted.
Do you have anything to add about your experience on how you got on the podcast?
No, I mean, we talked about how I first got to like know the idea, how you told me about it, and then I was I really had no idea like what the workload would be, mm-hmm. and I couldn't like give a good estimate, and then you kept telling me, oh yeah, Alina probably also wants to join, and oh, there was this other person who wanted to start a podcast once, and I also contacted her, and then like that was my experience of who is Sophie, and then I got to know her, and yeah,
here we are 1 year and many meetings later.
And I think we still like each other, so we did not start hating one another.
No, I think we did quite a good job at working together and like figuring things out in a way that everybody's happy or at least content. So
yeah, that's true. I think at that point also Sönke just mentioned the workload load that he wasn't able on estimating how much it would be. Maybe we could just shortly talk about learnings we had during this year. So what did we expect? What did we not expect? Like, for example, I can just say I did not expect us to make it one whole year. I thought like maybe we do it half a year and then it just falls apart, and somehow we managed to keep going, which I extremely appreciate. And apart from that, I think I mainly learned a lot about how to have conversations and how to keep conversations going, on how to be open to guests, on how to also generally just science communication, because I had the chance to join quite a couple of events thanks to the podcast, and just learned a lot about that besides the actual podcasting stuff was the first couple of things that came to my mind. And of course I kind of realized how annoying Instagram can be.
Yeah, I feel like everybody, like if you follow any content creators online, people regularly say, oh, it's so stressful because you never know how good things mm-hmm. are going or how bad. And because we don't do a podcast full time and we don't do this for profit, this is just a fun little side project for all of us. I feel like we don't post regularly enough for Instagram to show us to new people a lot, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't have like enough posts in order for this to happen. And sometimes it's kind of frustrating because even though it looks like, oh, this is just like a quote, it still takes time. You still need to listen, and we briefly talk about it, whether we all like that quote, and then like writing a little bit of text and editing the whole thing and then putting it online. I feel like the amount of time we've spent on the social media is in no way represented by the followers.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
I feel like everybody who must do content creation, unless they've reached the point where they are just so famous that they could do just about anything and people would be like, yes! I feel like everybody must feel like that. And I also learned there are so many little decisions. I don't know, mm-hmm. when I just mentioned the brainstorming, I don't know if you remember us literally discussing colors for like a whole week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's so many little decisions to make and there are so many little things to talk about. Yeah.
But I think like the positive side of that is, and that's one of the learnings for me, is that like group work can be good. Like, I mean, if I were like to start this podcast alone, then there is no chance it would have been this good, or right. And I think like the fact that there is like a common goal and we all are here like because we want to, and that makes for a really good group dynamic. I think like also like that the people here are nice, is probably very good. But yeah, that is like a little contrast to team work in like a university context where the only common goal is to get like credits for something, and that you just go like, yeah, do we really have to like put an effort into like this little decision, or can we just like choose anything and go on with it? But if you have like a group that is somehow here because they share like an interest in the bigger picture, then it makes the thing more enjoyable and like the outcome even better.
Yeah, I think so too. And also that I feel like all of us, or at least over the year, all of us got to know each other more on also different levels. So like Sophie and I knew one another from working. I knew Sönke and Alina specifically as friends. But I think working on a project together that's additional to all the other contacts we've been in contact with, or haven't even been in contact before, added quite a special level of relationship as well. And also of communicating, at least for me.
Yeah, especially because obviously, like, Elisa kind of is the, I would say, manager of this whole thing. Elisa basically is keeping everything together. And that sometimes, unfortunately, means that I or Alina or people just forget things, and Elisa has to be like, hi. Do you still remember that you wanted to do this, or that you still like that we talked about you doing this? And I really appreciate that you like check in, but like always in a very friendly manner, even if it was like the second time or third time I've forgotten about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's also, as Sönke mentioned, a lot about the mindset, because it's not as in a work context or university context, where you have deadlines or you're getting paid to do a task, but we all know that we do it additionally to our normal lives. And I think there's really, at least to me, it's always super important to appreciate just the fact that we all do it voluntarily.
I think this ties into one of the questions I noted down for our meeting, which is basically like, apart from like the hard skills that we learned, like, what soft skills we are contributing to the team. Because, I mean,
Yeah. Do you want to talk that each of us is talking about their own soft skills, or that we're talking about soft skills we see in others.
Whatever comes up first.
Like, my first thought was just, Sönke is the most stable baseline you could add to a podcast.
Yeah, Sönke is like, when we started getting into memes, everybody was like really stressing out. And Sönke was like, no, no, everything is fine. I can do this. And Sönke is also always the person when last minute somebody's like sick or somebody mm-hmm. can't do something. Sönke will be like, okay, what do I need? Can you, what information can you give me? I will upload it later today. Yeah. Which I highly appreciate.
Yeah, me too. I think like often, although I'm trying to keep everything in sight and remind people if things get delayed, etc., and just check mails, check if everything is uploaded properly, if something on the website isn't working properly, that it's distributed. So it has also happened that I noticed that some things weren't properly on the websites, etc., and I just keep reaching out to everyone. But still, I'm not that well. I wouldn't say I'm not well organized, but I would say I'm sometimes still just too chaotic to get in those tiny tasks. And then it's just really awesome to have a stable baseline person somewhere.
And I think for you, it's like people management skills and keeping everybody together and keeping everybody happy. And then also checking in on people and be like, are you doing okay? Like, if you can't do this, we can reevaluate how to do, like, the tasks or something. Which is very nice.
And I think you, Sophie, especially, are the... you phrased it quite nicely a bit earlier. You said the critic chaotic or something like that. So you're often in our meetings when we're about to finish, I was asking, does anyone have any other questions? And oh, we're like, no. And all of a sudden, Sophie goes like, oh, I have that. And I really like that because it's, I often feel like so often you bring up so many ideas and questions I have thought about as well, or even haven't thought about. And you just bring them up and it's always good because then we reflect, think about, rephrase, maybe reframe some of our things. And I just really like that. That critical chaoticism, could you say that? The slightly critical
and chaotic
brainstorming, continuously throwing in ideas and thoughts. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not the one to take like the most tidy notes, but I have a lot of ideas, more ideas than like. So I feel like this is also where we work well together, because I have like 10 ideas and you make something practically usable from these like 10-15 ideas that I just throw into the void, like, oh, we could do this, and, oh, we could do this, and you're like, okay, but Let's
collect.
And I think although she's not here right now, but Alina has like also it's different for her, but she also has like a certain creativity she brings to the table. I mean, she is like responsible for editing the reels, so that alone shows you that there is some creative task that she is the responsible person for, but also like in like meetings on like what should we do next, who can we get in contact with, and like what does the future look like. She has made like very valuable contributions also.
Yeah. And also I feel like Alina knows so many people.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that she's the only extrovert in our group, I would say, or the only person who would also like happily say that about herself. And I feel like that ties into her being like very connected to other people and knowing other people and being like, hey, we could message this person, they could know something about this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think all in all, we are all like really different in our way of approaching tasks, but by that it also works really well because we are also different, that we kind of counterbalance the strengths and weaknesses of each other person. I think that's something I really like about this specific team work.
And what I also appreciate is that the communication is always open, so nothing is taken like personally. Like if I say, oh, I really don't like this idea, it's not about like me being mean or something. It's about us just finding like a good idea.
Yeah,
I feel like that's also like we have very open and direct communication. So if somebody feels like something's not going well, we can say that and then we discuss it and then we try to find a solution everybody's happy about. So I think that's very nice.
That's true. By that, we could just nicely go to how do our meetings usually look like. So we've already mentioned that we by now usually meet once a week. We did that most weeks. There were just a couple of weeks where we decided to skip a meeting. But like something we do have to deal with is that, for example, Sophie isn't in Osnabrück, so we can't meet in person. We can't simply go for a coffee and just all chat in a cafe and talk about things. So we kind of need to figure out online work in a way that everyone feels included, everyone feels well with. And somehow it works quite good, I would say. And I still don't really know why it works that well, but it really works well.
I think it works scarily well, like, because I don't feel excluded at all, because Elisa, Sönke and Alina are all living in Osnabrück, and since they are also all friends, they meet up for coffees, and every now and then they also obviously discuss the podcast, because it's part of their lives. But I've never felt excluded, because I always know that if you have an important idea, it will be discussed in the meeting. Like, it won't be kept from me in any way.
Yeah. Like, sometimes something goes under, but we somehow still always manage to get all the important information spread. And also, I think the meetings aren't just podcast orga. So most times we have, like, 20 to 30 minutes orga stuff, or brainstorming, or just talking about podcast stuff, and then the next half hour to hours just chatting about life. So maybe what something that makes the meetings work so well is that we are just also talking casually quite a lot to each other and don't have that division between us, I feel like.
Yeah, and that we all do like a round of brainstorming of like, oh, who has something important they've thought about or something. And even if I have like 5 questions in the end, unless somebody like really needs to go, everybody's like, okay, then this is what we're doing now, I guess.
Do you have anything to add right now, Sönke, or are you just...
I don't think so. I'm also like really happy how the meetings go, and like just I think having a regular schedule, and even though like the date or like the day of the week and the time sometimes changes, like if someone like, or if a new semester starts and someone does like sports or something, then we obviously have to look for a new fixed appointment every week. But I think that just having this regular meetings makes it so much easier, so that we don't have like, oh, I just came up with an idea, can we meet up sometime soon, and then everybody is like planned for the next few days. But having like a regular thing is, I think, very beneficial.
And it's also not super, like, we do have a structure, but it's not strict. So, like, I think we talked at some point if we want to give some behind the scenes about our meetings. And one of the first things that came to my mind is at least one person is always eating. For some reason, we manage that really one person is always eating.
And it's never Sönke.
True. True.
Sönke always sits very like tidily at his desk or like whatever, like he always has the same background, and then like Alina, Elisa, and I are just being like chaotic. So wherever we are, whatever is happening, like
I'm also quite often cooking at the time of our meeting, and then just kind of taking notes, like chopping my vegetables or whatever. It's always, but it works out. It's fun actually. Do you have any other behind the scenes meeting facts?
I think, Elisa made a big notion, and I think that's keeping part of the world together, because usually most, like 95% of the time when I need to look something up, I can just go into this notion, rummage around for a bit, because I still don't fully understand the folder structure, and then I usually can resurface whatever I'm looking for.
I think, like, I don't have anything more to add. Just, like, be thankful for what Sophie said, like, that we have a shared space where we can take notes and that we document our meeting. So it sounds like if everyone's joining from somewhere and eating and cooking, it sounds like very chaotic. But in the end, it is still loosely structured, and, like, the important information get preserved. Even if someone is not coming to a meeting, then they can look at the notes and get like the most important information.
I feel like this podcast is like a very fun mix of feeling like we have a lot of like very official things going on. Like we have weekly meetings, and we have meeting notes with whom was present and what needs to be done. But then on the other hand, we're like eating at the same time. I feel like it's a very fun mix of sounding very official, but also at the same time it being very like unofficial.
And maybe that's also part of why it works that well. And maybe a fun thing about the Notion, because Notion is synchronizing across devices, and we also use it for our podcast recordings. And in one recording, I'm not going to say which one it was, but I was having a follow-up appointment and we took longer than planned initially. And I just started typing in the Notion board to Sönke, help, I have to go. So he could help me wrap the episode up quicker, because I was like, I'm really bad at that. And that's something Sönke is really good at, wrapping up and finding a finishing point. And he also usually does it in our episodes. So it was just really funny because I was typing, help, I have to go in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like this also kind of ties into another question. What do you think was very unexpected about like having like a science communication podcast? Do you have something where you're like, oh, I really did not expect that?
I think the first thing that came to my mind right now was just the humanity of researchers and professors for some reason. Because at the beginning when we started, we mainly talked to other students. And I was, at the beginning when we started to talk to professors, really nervous about it. And it was like, oh, they're professors. They have a title. They are superficial. And I know they are just people. They're just human beings as well. But somehow I was, especially the first one or two recordings, super nervous, because I thought, well, they have a title, so they must be much, much smarter, and they're just as any other person as well, so they can be humble, they can be have really weird ideas, they can have really jumping thoughts, they can just be really chatty and talkative, or also behind the scenes, before, after recording, just really enjoy a good chat. And that's something I did really not expect about doing this podcast specifically.
I think I was more interested that so many professors were willing to talk to us, because professors are very busy people and they have a lot of things to do. And I did not expect that people would be interested to talk to us, if that makes sense. I would have imagined that a lot more people we like email and reach out to, whether they want to be on the podcast, would be like, sorry, but no, I don't have time or energy for that. And a surprising amount of people were really interested in talking to us.
Yeah, that's true.
Because especially when you're starting off and you don't have much to show for yourself, and you can only be like, we're nice, we're trying our best. And
yeah.
I would have thought that more people would be like, ask me again in a year when I can, like, see what you've done.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything else. I mean, those two were also things that I noticed. Because, like, usually I think when there are, like, podcasts with guests, it's usually that the guest wants to promote something they did. Like, oh, I don't know, I made a movie and it's coming out, like, in a few weeks. So they go on a podcast tour and talk about, like, stuff they have done. But on our side, like, our guests don't really gain anything out of be talking with us. Like, maybe that's, like, they post it on a personal website or something, but it's not really something that they get a clear benefit from. But it's nice to see that they still have, like, this passion to share knowledge and are willing to talk to us just to share knowledge, as I said, and have, like, also a wider understanding of what it is that they're doing, because, like, the things they're doing is usually very specific, and I think they're then just happy to talk to people and share why they think that what they're doing is interesting.
And also, I think the willingness of people in research to just share their knowledge is really impressive to me as well. So just this, I feel like, I don't know how and how far that view I am having there is shaped by conference I've been attending, but something I feel like is that, especially in research, communicating about the research you're doing to a broader public always gets kind of undermined behind talking to other researchers, behind writing exposés, behind doing academic communication. But I feel like this, maybe also just this offering a platform where we do our best to communicate science to a broader public and offering people a quite easy entrance is, for the one hand, supportive for researchers, but also just their trust, as you have mentioned, in kind of going onto that journey or just giving it a try without really knowing at the beginning how it's going to end, because we have just started last year. In the beginning, didn't have any episodes to show. It was just also super surprising.
Yeah, I think this is something, like, me working in science that sometimes kind of gets forgotten, that I think one of the things about science is if nobody can use this science and if there's only, like, 3 people in this world who understand what's actually going on, I sometimes wonder how useful it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like science communication is about as important as science, because again, if nobody can use this information for any good, I'm not sure if it helps us know about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any episodes that kind of, like, stuck out to you last year? Or any episodes that were on your mind for any reason?
I don't have a specific episode, but I just maybe want to quickly talk about my experience. Like, the first episode we did, we, like, had Daniel Müller on, and he was, like, a really great guest, and but we were still new to, like, the technology and recording and what we have to do, and then, like, I expected to be, like, more of a routine than after a while, and that worked out. But then, like, at some point, I think, like, maybe I became, like, overconfident in what how easy it's gonna be like in the next episode or something, and then there was like a small dip again to that I needed to focus more on like all the tasks, not during the recording or anything, but like having like just a routine alone doesn't save you. You also need to do the actual work that is required. I think that's like the overall progression that I've made like over the episodes. And then we had a new challenge when we started doing online recordings, so we had to figure out some stuff again from the start. I think that's like the overall thing I can say. I don't have like one episode that stands out to me right now.
I think to me it's the one with Bas, because he was my bachelor thesis supervisor and I was super nervous before the recording for some reason, because we haven't talked since I had submitted my bachelor thesis, and I was just super nervous. And he also said that he was nervous before the recording, and that just really stuck to me, because at the one hand I knew the data he was talking about because I have been working with it as well, and also just this, I think this maybe shared humanity of both of us being really nervous about this recording made it an episode that's just really stuck in my mind.
I think for me, like, I was there for a lot of episodes during the Coxy Space Day, and I think what stuck out to me is how passionate some people are about their research. Like, I still remember, like, Peter König being so excited to tell us about everything he's doing and why he thinks neuroscience is so cool. And I found it quite mind-blowing that people who have been in the field for such a long time can, like, still kind of have the spark and can still be, like, this excited about it. Or, like, Asia Achimova being, like, very excited about, like, her project. And, yeah, I think that kind of stuck out to me, how passionate some people are about their research and that they, like, have such a drive to find things out.
Yeah.
Okay, this kind of ties into my next question, which is a bit of a fun one, I would say. If you had to switch jobs or tasks with one of the guests, who would you choose and why?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Or you can also accompany them. I feel like, yeah, we only have limited knowledge of what they do. Who would you like to accompany for a day? That might be a better, like, phrasing.
I think for me it would be more because the whole episode about brain-computer interfaces and what they can do to support people was so mind-blowing to me. And I would just love to see the data for one day and just get more of an idea. Like, maybe even a week. I think one day wouldn't be enough, but just working a couple of days with the data and learning more about possibilities, restrictions, and just get deeper into that. Because, yeah, that just really blew my mind. Just really blew my mind.
I mean, for me, that's also, like, a difficult question. I think, like, the topic that is the most similar to what I've studied the most here in Osnabrück was maybe, like, the episode with Cornelius, where he talked about, like, applying AI in order to help, like, companies minimalize their resource use. And I think, like, this is something, like, a very clear application of AI, and also not being, like, stuck with one problem forever, but, like, having to be flexible and approaching, like, new projects or with new ideas. I think that's, like, the most thing, the most up my alley from all the episodes that we have done.
Is there any for you, Sophie? Because you've mainly listened to episodes so far. You haven't been in many episodes, but...
Yeah, I feel like the first one, like, I was just thinking of was, like, one which I actually recorded with Jolinda. because her like looking at the behavior of like gorillas and dolphins.
Bonobos.
Ah, sorry. Mm-hmm. Bonobos and dolphins. And that just kind of comes closest to my childhood dream, I would argue. So I would like to just spend a week and see what she actually does in her like field work. I think that would be pretty cool. I think Mo's episode was also very interesting because intracranial data is also very interesting to me. Because that's basically, so in the world of human neuroscience, that's very rare that you can look into the brain because all the other measurements are done outside of the brain, which is good for the participant because it means that they like they cannot get any harm from it whatsoever, and it's also way easier because you just don't look into like a healthy human's brain and poke around in their brain. That's just not something you do. But that obviously also leads to limitations. So if you measure electric activity through the skull and through the cerebral spinal fluid, it's obviously not as clear as if you would measure it directly on the neurons. So I think that's a topic I would enjoy learning more about.
Yeah. I think also going into that direction, since what we've mentioned before, we're not all in one spot, so we don't usually meet up for chatting, having a coffee, etc. But if we had just, let's say, had all the money, all the resources, all the time, what type of team bonding trip would you want to do with the team?
Did you have a look at my notes?
Yes, it's our notes.
I mean, I feel like knowing all of us and that we all kind of, including Alina, enjoy being outside, I feel like it would probably be like a hiking trip or something with like nice weather and nature.
Sorry, I'm not laughing about the answer. I'm just laughing because I thought, well, Sönke mostly gets into hiking because I ask him to get into hiking with me. Or at least, no, I wouldn't phrase it that way, but we've been playing a game where people had to assume which person would most likely climb the Mount Everest. And everyone voted for me, and I voted for Sönke with the argument that I would convince him joining me. And that was just why I was like, yes.
But I mean, even if it's not like long hiking, I would, yeah, maybe something like hiking and then swimming in a lake or something, because I feel like we all are kind of outdoorsy, even if we're not all, I'm also not a big hiker per se, but I enjoy being outdoors a lot, so happy to do like a small hike and then like a swim or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any concrete plans, but I would agree that like something that is more off grid somehow or like more in nature probably is a better fit for the team than like an all-inclusive like hotel and don't leave the compound kind of vacation or something. Or
yeah, true.
Or go surfing in The Hague,
which apparently is possible.
Is it? Interesting. Yeah, I also thought kind of because I know all of us have some connection to the ocean, to just do some kind of ocean trip or ocean thing or sea. Just going for, I don't know, surfing camp in South France or somewhere.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, but if we have all the money we want and all the resources, I would prefer to do that, but somewhere where the weather is nicer. Because, I mean, I don't live in Germany, but I feel like the difference between the Dutch and German weather are not, and neither of them has been too great this year, I would argue. Yeah,
So I think doing a surfing trip would be my go-to team bonding trip.
Surfing and yoga. Aren't there like combined surfing and yoga retreats? Because I know that you also do yoga and Alina also does, and Sönke could get into
it. He did it once. I took him to a yoga in a park once.
And if not, you still have the surfing, so...
I would be into that as well. I think we should ask our institute if they pay for us a team bonding trip.
Okay, and as a last point for today, I think, unless other people have more points, I would like to look into the statistics, because Sönke told me he also regularly gets asked about that, and I don't think we've had a look at it in the past like 4 or 5 months, or at least I haven't. So to explain this, Sönke is responsible for a lot of the technical stuff in this podcast, so he edits the episodes, and he is also like very much responsible for technical setups and for uploading and making sure that the podcast episodes are available to you to listen to. But that also means he has access to all the statistics which Spotify or Apple Podcasts give him, and we would be able to access this as well, but I think we don't usually do that.
No, it's just easier to have one person messing it up.
We can put a disclaimer. This is the statistics section of today. If you don't want to listen, that's fair.
Skip to the next part.
The original hosting is done on the website of the Cognitive Science Student Journal of our institute. I'm not sure if everyone knows that. I think like most people listen to us on Spotify or other platforms. But that's also kind of the reason that we don't have like the exact statistics, because there would be a way of measuring like how many times the feed gets requested, I guess. Because it's like a university site and they take like data protection really serious, there's no plugin installed that counts like every single click, so we don't really know how many people are listening to us. But I can tell you like the two most popular websites are Spotify and probably Apple Podcasts. And on Spotify, we have 258 followers right now. And just to see like how far it is beyond all the other platforms, like the second most popular platform is, as I said, Apple Podcasts. And there we have 39 followers. So there's like a huge gap there. And then to Spotify also, like there is the statistics of how many times an episode has been started, and then there is like how many times it has been actually streamed, meaning there's it longer than, I don't know, 10 seconds or 30 seconds. And the amount of starts we have recently crossed 2,000. So we are at 2,038 right now. And the amount of streams is 1,424, so that's also like a very good number in comparison, I would say. And the amount of individuals, as I said, like we have 258 followers, but people who actually like clicked on an episode, distinct people are like 431 people just on Spotify.
That's a lot more than I expected. do you have any like demographics about the people, like gender, where they are? Because Instagram, just to explain, sometimes gives us demographics for certain groups, so we know, for example, from where they're streaming or their gender.
Yes, they're also like I don't think Apple will tell you that, but I can tell you the things that again Spotify gives us, and it says that 58% are female and 32% are male, and there's 1% where it's where Spotify doesn't know, and 7.9% are non-binary. And the most popular age group is 23 to 27, which is also like to be expected. And it has like a nice curve, because like this age group has 43% of listeners, and then the age group below from 18 to 22 has 18.9%, and the age group above from 28 to 34 has 23.2%, and then it decreases from there. And also what's maybe interesting is that there is also a geographic map on Spotify, and you can see that like the vast majority of streams comes from Germany with over 1,000, and then on the second place there's the Netherlands. Maybe Sophie, you are partly responsible for that.
I did all the 400 other streams.
And after that, on third place is Austria, and on fourth is Poland, and on fifth place is actually Australia.
Australia.
Poland and Australia are both kind of unexpected. But then also, how many people are that? Or roughly?
Poland is 23 streams and Australia is 22.
Oh. Maybe there was one person in each country that listened to all our episodes at that point.
Maybe.
And which episode was the most popular? Can you see that?
I would say one of the first.
Or maybe one of the Christmas specials.
True, true.
Well, can I sort this? Yes, I actually can sort this. the first episode is obviously the one with the most starts. Mm-hmm. It's like the longest online. I think maybe sometimes it also gets recommended, and I think it's obviously a good way to start. And then they are basically in chronological order. So like then the second most popular is the zeroth episode, but I wouldn't really like count that. Then there's the second, third, fifth, and sixth. And then comes the first that is not in the usual episodes, but then there comes the special episode, the first one actually with Professor Peter König, and that's the one that sticks out like in the list for being like more popular than it is old.
And how are we doing on, what was it, Google Podcast, Amazon Podcast? What was the one we added?
Amazon, which we added for a friend. So Amazon was added for one friend, and she was for quite some time the only person following us on Amazon, so we could always trace back which episodes she listened to and which she didn't.
Let me check really quick all time. So we have actually reached 2 followers now on Amazon. with a total of 25 stars and 20 plays. I'm assuming that plays means also like, yeah, it's 60 seconds. And also they have like a count of individual listeners, and there the count is actually 4.
Huh. Fun. Thanks for sharing. Do you have your phone? We could also have a look at the Instagram statistics for comparison.
Sure. At the same time, anytime, Sönke, how many regular and how many bonus episodes did we have?
I mean, like, the bonus episodes were 12, right, for the special. And then we have, like, the zeroth episode also.
Mm-hmm. And also the one where Alina interviewed us, and this one.
Yeah, but this one isn't out yet.
So I can, but it's going to be out when people listen to it.
That's true. And there's a total of 33 episodes online right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So the like the latest episode we published was the 19th episode, the regular episodes. And yeah, then there are the 12 special episodes and the zeros and the bonus episode.
I don't have Instagram on my phone anymore. If you have your phone, that might speed things up.
So in the last 30 days, we have reached... okay, we are also quite inactive on Instagram recently, so it has decreased since last time I checked. We have reached, in the last 30 days, 1,764 accounts. But it has decreased a lot since before, just because we've been less active. But we have about 256 followers on Instagram. And in the last 90 days, in total, we had a bit more than 1,500 accounts reached. Oh, interesting. The most popular post, actually, we had was the reel with Yolinda in the whole time of podcasting. So the most popular post was the reel with Yolinda, followed by our team photo, which we all had on our private accounts as well, so it's quite expected. And then it's Peter König, Sebastian Muslik, and our first reel we had.
Fun.
Quite interesting, actually. Yeah. That I didn't expect.
I kind of did, because I'm like not exactly like this, obviously, but Yolinda's reel was doing insanely well. Like, I still remember that. That I was like, wow, 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 because we had very, like, a lot of responses to that.
On Instagram, most, like, 75% of our followers are from Germany, 5% from the Netherlands, 2.3 from Italy, 1.9 from the US, and 1.5 from Costa Rica.
That's quite different, though, than the...
It is, yeah.
Because the number of followers is very comparable to Spotify.
A bit less, yeah.
But it's also like the... This is just like the total number of followers, but for the Spotify statistic, this was the amount of streams that was ranked. So if you have like very active listeners in one country, they like inflate and the number.
Also, it's just the last 90 days because you can't do whole year on Instagram, so it's just 3 months. And also, but the age distribution is quite similar, so it's about 1/3 from 18 to 24, then 25 to 34 is more than half, and then it goes down again. And much more women than males. We, for some reason, don't have any diverse gender, but we have 66% females and 33% males.
Interesting.
Anyhow, I think we could stop here as well, couldn't we?
Yes.
I don't think there is a context to cognitive science from this episode.
No, I think the context to our for our, this episode is just 1 year of podcasting and a lot of chit-chatting and just nice reflecting of 1 year group work. And I'm still really sad that Alina couldn't join because she was an important part of our team for the whole year and just really unlucky that she couldn't join for this recording.
Yes. Would have been nice to also get her perspective on the whole thing.
Yes, so. Definitely. 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 But still, to all our listeners, I think from all of us, I can say that we wish you a really good summer. We're going to enjoy our summer break from mid-July to beginning of September, so there won't be any new episodes for 6 or 7 weeks. We're going to take some time off and enjoy a podcast-free time for the first time in a year, which is also something we realized is really important when you are working on such a project. And afterwards, we will come back with a new season, also slightly changed structure, some more changes we're going to talk about then in September. But for now, we wish you a really, really well summer and hope you are all staying happy, healthy, enjoy traveling, enjoy summer, enjoy a good drink, whatever you do in summertime.
And if you're sad about no more episodes, you can probably find one you haven't listened to yet.
That's true. That's true.
If you can, please text us. I would really like to know if somebody listened to, like, all of them.
Oh, yes. Yes, really. Like, if you're a super hard fan and you listen to all of our episodes,
please let us text know. Us.
It would be awesome. Also, you can just take it as competition, and whoever texts us first gets one sticker or something. You can just make it
or multiple stickers. If it helps.
Okay, enjoy your summer.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. When you enjoy listening to us, the best way to support us is by following us on your chosen podcast app. This could either be Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or the website of a cognitive science student journal. Another good way to support us is by following our Instagram account, which is called kaleidoscience_pod. On our Instagram account, you will also get regular information on the next episode. Thanks a lot for supporting us. This was Kaleidoscience, hosted by Elisa Palmer and Sönke Löw. Produced by Alina Ohnesorge, Elisa Palmer, Sönke Löw and Sophie Kühne. Produced in collaboration with the Cognitive Science Student Journal. The music was produced by Jan-Lukas Schröder. The logo was designed by Annika Richter. Thank you for listening and joining us on our journey through conversations on cognitive science.